5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff.
All right, welcome back. It's Partially Derivative, episode 4. We're back this week with Alec. He's returned from a hiatus. Yes. I'm glad to have him back because it will probably make it a lot easier. So this week we are going to be discussing the SolarWinds attack and kind of just start out by, you know, kind of describing, you know, what the premise of the attack was, why it was so hard to detect, and we'll get into like the implications and how we, you know, the company will be moving forward, you know, in the future. So how's it been going, Alec?
You know, obviously it's been busy with the holidays. The pandemic doesn't make things easier as always, but you know, I've been just hanging out, going to work a lot. That's pretty much it, you know, pretty boring stuff.
Yeah. Just hanging in there.
Video games. Yeah. That's the life, I guess.
Yeah, my classes have started. I'm taking a information security class this semester, so hopefully I will have a little bit of understanding, and hopefully we can provide any listeners with a general broad understanding of what happened. So basically this happened early December of 2020. The company SolarWinds is, you know, a cybersecurity company, and their main product, their main software is called Orion. And Orion is used by thousands and thousands of companies. It's used by, you know, the government, the military uses it, the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, but also private security company or private sector companies, private businesses, bunch of, you know, Fortune 500 companies use the software. And basically it was hacked by at the time they thought, they just knew it was a nation state attack. They knew it wasn't, this isn't just, you know, Joe Schmo sitting on his computer with Reddit on one monitor and, you know, hacking software on another monitor. This is, you know, a coordinated, planned attack from a nation state, which is just, it's pretty scary to know that countries are capable of doing this. But it is now, as more details came out, it is now projected, they now think it's a result of the Russian cyber hacking group known as Cozy Bear, and it's part of their it's part of Russia's sort of foreign intelligence, you know, whatever group in their government. And it was a highly coordinated attack. It took months and months. You know, they kept their footprint very low once they were in the system, and they used very sneaky tactics to exploit the Orion software and get into all these companies. So,
question. So just right off the bat, you know, we kind of got the situation outlined. I'm wondering, like, what do you think the main goal is, right? Because I saw that when I was researching this a little bit, there's a lot of different types of malware. I don't know if it's what it's classified under, but I know there's like there's like the Trojan horse, there's spyware, adware, stuff like that. So like this was a Trojan attack, right? So what's the end goal for that? You know, they're spying on things, I guess, but is it monetary or is it military or do you know?
I mean, who knows? Why? You know, because I don't know why they specifically targeted SolarWinds, because I mean nobody really knows.
Well, I mean if you have 425 out of the 500 companies in the Fortune 500 and you're also serving the military, I mean that's just a big kind of funnel, you know. It's I think you're just picking the biggest chicken with the biggest eggs, you know what I mean? But
right, but what I mean, you're right. Like, what did they? That's a very good question. What did they want to get out of it? Because they, you know, they have so much information already. You know, yeah. I don't know what the end goal of this is. If they, you know, try to do it again, or I don't know what happens from here.
Yeah, and that's where you were mentioning earlier. I know we spoke, and you know, even if they reassess their system, it's hard to tell if, you know, they're still in there. So, you know, maybe it's just to have access to a big portion of our systems or just information about us. Because I know information is very valuable. I don't think countries like Russia or the United States are too interested in, like, I know money makes the world go round, but, you know, we print new dollars and whatnot, you know, like our economy is already kind of in the gutter. So I feel like for us, you know, I don't think it's in the gutter, but for us, like doing something like this to Russia would not be about getting money. I don't think, like, we don't want any monetary stuff from Russia. We more so, I think, would want their secrets, information. Do they have new weapons? Do they have, what are their capabilities as far as if we attack them or they attacked us, or what information do they maybe have on, like, say China or Syria or whoever, right? So
I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's about information. It's also about, I think, a big part of it. Maybe this is not Russia's intention or the group's intention, but a big part of it is just, now that this is out there, other people are gonna try this. It's inevitable that people see this, that they look at this and they see this humongous company that, you know, supposedly protects, you know, hundreds and thousands of different organizations was breached fairly easily. Like, there are going to be other hacking groups that are not associated with nation states, and there's definitely going to be, you know, obviously the other biggest threat is China. As of right now, I'm not sure of China's cybersecurity capabilities. But absolutely, it's information, and it's, you know, exposing the fact that we are vulnerable and companies are vulnerable to these types of breaches.
And I something we didn't speak about earlier, but that I'm kind of thinking about now, is what's the rate at which, you know, hacking systems, like, you know, I don't know how different it is, but I'm assuming there's a little bit of a difference between the actual hacker's capabilities and the ability of the, I guess you'd say, person getting attacked, what they can do to stop it. So, like, what's the point at which, say, an attacker is, you know, a bomb versus a, you know, an unarmed person, or a bomb versus a tank? Like, what is that growth rate where one person's capabilities far outnumber? Like, these attacks, like you said, are going to keep happening. So, I mean, does that mean that they're just going to get stronger and our ability to defend against them is going to stay the same? Or do you think that our ability to defend them is going to get, like, basically stay the same as it, like, and we'll always be able to sort of defend it, but the more time that they take, the sneakier they are, the better they're going to be at hacking.
I mean, it's like anything. It's like anything, you know, in the military. You hope that no one nation's, you know, capabilities outweigh, you know, the other nation's capabilities. So it doesn't mean that this attack doesn't mean that the U.S. is so far behind, you know, every other country in terms of cybersecurity that we're gonna, you know, we're all screwed. They're all gonna get into our systems. it doesn't mean that. It's a wake up call for sure for all these, you know, again, all the businesses that were affected by this, that they need to be aware. I think it's on some, you know, level, it is good that people are aware now. Obviously, there's been bigger, you know, breaches in the past, or there've been data breaches in the past, but there's just so cybersecurity and information security is just such, it's an early field, you know, it's only been around for, I mean, computers were generally considered to be invented in the 1950s, and, you know, the internet, the early version of the internet was only created in the 1970s and 80s. So it's been around, the internet has been around for 50 or so years. And, you know, nobody knows where it's going to go in the future. I mean, we're all going to have, one thing is for certain is we're all going to have more devices that are going to be connected in the future. So, like, it's one of the most important fields in just computer science in general. Is just security, because everything is going to be connected to the internet, and we're going to have to figure a way to guarantee, you know, at least some level of security in the future.
And so I guess, like, I don't think I explained it super well, but I guess what I was trying to say is, like, I know that, like, countries, like when the United States developed the nuclear bomb, obviously nobody else had a nuclear bomb. So, and their ability was far greater than anybody else, their destructive power. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is, like, with physical weapons, whereas like computers, you're kind of like, you know, it's more digital. Like with the bomb, Russia or Japan's or whoever's ability to deter a nuclear bomb is. Not very vertical moves might be sort of like your bunker, like that your top tier information is protected behind way more complicated stuff on servers that aren't connected to anything else. And that's good enough for that information, right? But we're talking about these companies trust a third party company to do the security for them. And they can't afford to put everything on a private database that's not connected. I feel like it isn't feasible, you know,
right.
It's like, it's not feasible. So I guess that to me would be the bunker of the situation. Like, you can always do that, but it's not a perfect solution because you're always going to have ground casualties because not everyone's going to get in a bunker. And ideally, you know, your city's going to get blown up. Or not ideally, but your city's going to get blown up. Ideally, you don't want that to happen. So, you know, if you could make like a laser-guided missile that could shoot down a nuke or whatever, you know, like, at what point is cybersecurity where we're no longer sitting there against a nuke and we can shoot it down, you know, or like, because to me it just sounds like all these people need is time, and you can pretty much sneak your way in.
I mean, sort of,
like, it's like a soft zone for security. Like,
I mean, in my mind, I don't go to the bomb nuke analogy because
no, you don't think.
No, because there's not one way to hack into a system. There isn't. Like, you have to, like, it's a science. It's an art to be able to, because somebody might, even though it's highly improbable, somebody might write perfect code. Like, if this, you know, Orion was perfect, there would be no way to get into it.
What makes it perfect? I mean, because
I don't know the actual.
The perfection to me would be if it was on a closed system where you had to physically get into it to get into it. You know what I mean?
I mean, you can. There are software vulnerabilities come from code. I don't. It's a very broad, you know, statement, but
yeah,
it's not like I don't know the details of it, but
because like. I guess like the backdoor access they were kind of talking about. If you are a developer and you want to make it so that you're able to access the system. So like if I develop software for you, but as a developer, I wanted to ensure that I could get back into it. Even if you created passwords around it, I could create a backdoor so that I could get into it. Even if, you know, your first line of defense was, you know, your password is whatever. But since I created a backdoor, I can get in because I know how. But
okay.
So I get that there's these like that you can write the code to keep people out. But like, however the hackers got in, now that they have all these different ways to get in, I don't know. I see it like as the destructive power of it.
I guess you can make the nuke analogy or the bomb analogy, but it's not just one day we don't have a nuke and one day we have a nuke, right?
Yeah.
Because with the nuke, it like one day they like made the nuke. Like one day, like the day before, the United States did not possess a nuclear bomb. The next day they did. With cybersecurity and hacking into systems, it takes a long time, and you might not even find a way. Like they could have not even, you know, found it. It's a very, talking about it at this high of a level is a little bit I don't know, it's kind of just hard to, you know, talk about at this high level without knowing, you know, more details of it. But it's not, I would try to stay away from like the bomb analogy because it I don't know. That's not where I go. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think a nuke is better than a convention. And then the capability to fight against something that much more overpowered, you know, or if you have a knife and I have a gun. Like, that's all I'm trying to say is, like, a gun and I have a knife. Your power to take me down is going to be much more than my power to take
myself. I mean, I guess in terms of that, it would just be the biggest things, I guess, would be manpower. You know, you have the more people this field that know what they're talking about are going to be able to work together and get things done and find things faster. They're going to be able to find vulnerabilities faster. But there's not like, at least to my knowledge, there's not like one thing where you just, and maybe there will be, I don't know.
A solution where, because I'm not very versed in code or anything like that.
Right. But
to me, I was trying to liken it to like, is there a certain point where someone figures out a way that, you know, hey, if we do this, like, we can't really get hacked. Or hackers be like, if we do this, they can't really stop it. Like, is there something you can think where, you know, it's feasible?
No, there. As far as I know, there is not one, like, catch-all.
Like, thing. One thing that's, okay. Because and with that, I'm not thinking that it could be like a, because I'm not sure exactly how this hacking works, but I'm assuming they do it remotely with code and different things like that. But if there was something they could do where it had to do more so with the infrastructure of the computer and not the...
Are you talking more like hardware-wise?
Yeah, hardware, yeah. So, like, but if it was something that affected the hardware, but you didn't have to physically go and, I guess, do it, right? So, like, my computer at my house, if you could affect the physical aspect of it without actually, you know, doing much as far as code. Like, obviously, it would still have to be code-based because it's remote.
Yeah.
But it's like...
I don't think you can really make any major changes to hardware, like, remotely, as far as I know.
No.
There might be. I'm not an expert.
I'm just saying, like, you know how, like, sometimes, like, you get an email, you have to actually go into the email to get a hacked or whatever by it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there, you have to, like, click a link.
Or you know that, okay, I like this, okay? When you had an iPhone, not you, but when people had iPhones a few years ago in high school, and you could send them, like, that weird text that would, like, shut down their phone automatically.
Okay, yeah.
Sort of like that, where, like, I didn't click on anything. I didn't do anything. And my phone just, like, shut down. Like,
right, but that's still software.
It's software-based, but...
It affects...
In order for it...
It doesn't really affect the hardware, but okay, go on.
And then this is another thing. So... When we're talking about, like, communications between two places, there's the internet, basically, like, from my computer to your computer, if I was going to send you a message, it would be like it goes from my computer to the sending point, and then it goes different places, right? Like, it pings different.
Right. It's called packet switching.
So is there a way that you could, and I'm sure this actually probably exists if I'm on base, but with the packet switching process, or however it goes from one place to another, would you not necessarily have to have the actual server or whatever be what's checking for the virus, right? So, like, if we were talking about that iPhone thing where it sends you a text that shuts down your phone, if you send me a text from your iPhone, but then when it does packet switching or whatever, it checks it in the server from there to there. There's just, like, one more stop along the way, and it checks it. That server could be, or whatever, could be where those things get checked instead of checking it on your computer or your phone.
Right, you can...
Damage is going to happen.
I forget what the name of that attack is called, but you can definitely intercept information at other places. Like, you don't have to be on the actual, you know,
yeah,
device that sends or receives information. You can get into, because that's what the internet is. It's just a bunch of networks all interconnected, and networks have physical points. Like, you can get into any point, and, you know, if you get into a server, you know, one of Google's just general internet servers, I don't know if that's the correct term, but if you get in there, you can get in information sent from anybody.
So back to, we kind of got off topic here, but back to the, you know, this actual attack on the company. It's what was it again? It was
SolarWinds,
and then their product is the Orion software that protects companies. 425 out of 500 in the Fortune 500, and then a lot of, like, the U.S. Treasury and military departments.
Yes,
were affected, and then, from my understanding, there was it was a cool name, FireEye. They were the people basically researching the attack.
FireEye is basically the Watchmen. Like,
okay,
like, SolarWinds are the superheroes, and then FireEye watches the superheroes.
Gotcha.
Like, okay, if you know Watchmen.
Yeah. I'm not too familiar, but I get what you're trying to say. But I guess moving into something I'd be more comfortable with, you know, because, you know, I'm asking a lot of questions I don't know the answer to, but you know, if we're just talking about like the implications, I think I have a better grasp on that. So, you know,
everything
that's affected, like that's a lot of stuff. You know, we talked
about a little bit at the top. I'll just give a little bit more detail on the actual attack before we go into that.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, all these companies that used Orion, the vulnerability was sent out via an update from SolarWinds. So SolarWinds was attacked. The nation state group implemented their malware into an Orion update version. So when SolarWinds sent out their update for the Orion software, it's like any other software update. If you see, you know, Microsoft Word or Microsoft Office has an update, you say, oh, this is from, you know, Microsoft. It should be like you would trust it, right? You see it coming from the source, you would go and download it. Well,
it automatically download.
Yeah. So SolarWinds, they didn't know they were hacked, and they actually sent out an update to their Orion software with the malware in it. And then it infected all their clients, you know, hardware and software. So that's a little bit more like an explanation of how and why it was such a never before seen, you know, attack, because they were very meticulous, and it started in March potentially of 2020, and, you know, they only found it in December. But yeah, back to, you know, the implications are huge.
I mean, I think, you know, not to give any praise, but to give credit, you know, it's pretty smart, right? Like, this is, you want to hack the United States military, you want to hack different, if you're Russia or if you're another state, you know, you want to get information, right? And I think a lot of people would think like, okay, how do we directly get information on, say, I don't know, the army? And you'd think, okay, well, let's start hacking army databases and try to get into their systems like at their bases, right? So like Fort, whatever, you want to get into their servers, you want to get some information. But I think the problem is, like, for me at least, since I'm, you know, I'm in the military, I kind of know a little bit about our systems, and not to go too in depth, but like, we have really old computers, pretty old software, right? So it's harder to hack it, because I'm not sure why, but it's harder to hack the system. And so I think what's genius about what they did is that they hacked like a different, I don't know what you call it, like a different cell or something. Like they went with a company that is providing this service.
Right. They went with the source.
A huge source of people. So
they attacked
like,
at the source.
So,
yes.
Exactly. So I just think it's like, it's not necessarily genius. If you think on it for 10 minutes, you might be able to think of that. If you have a group of fucking, excuse me, of like really smart individuals, you know, but I just think that it's, you know, when we look at like history classes and different things like that, you kind of have people just sort of, you know, like when things like Cold War, stuff like that, like we're trying to hack like specific sites and stuff like that. But in this situation, you know, I think that it was really well orchestrated, I guess you could say. But not to give any praise whatsoever, just to kind of acknowledge the, I guess, you know, what they did is it's definitely interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What they did was just, it's unprecedented.
Yeah.
To have one, you know, one nation. I mean, they do. The fact that it's a nation state means they have more resources available to them as compared to, like, you know, Anonymous or whatever. One of those.
Yeah. Like a
independent hacking groups. But yeah, absolutely. The fact that they were able to come up with this, you know, form of an attack instead of going after the Department of Defense.
Yeah, which would be
specifically
it would be easy. You say,
they went after the company that protects the Department of Defense as well as all these other companies. So yes, I would agree.
Yeah.
The implications are, you know, like I was saying before, when we were talking, you know, the fact that this is now discovered means, you know, hey, other people are going to look at this and they're going to be like, that wasn't too hard. Like, we could probably do this. There are going to be more attacks.
I that's why I know we went on a long tangent at the beginning of the episode, but that's why I got into that, is because, you know, you mentioned there'll be more attacks, and it has me thinking, like, at what point is it where it's just overwhelming for the U.S. government or for whoever, you know, because I'm not sure if it's possible to get to this point, but if you have so many of these attacks, I feel like you said, like, kind of for this company reassessing and making their, like a new, I don't know if it'd be product, but a new, reassessing their system and making a new system would be costly and time consuming and, you know, all of the above. So,
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Like,
at what point does it get to where, like, all these people are doing this and there's copycats and they say, wow, this is easy. Russia, we did it so easy. So Russia says, let's make 10 more units like this or 10 more people. Like, at what point does the company just kind of say, like, well, we need to shut stuff down and reassess everything, or, you know, I don't know. I feel like, you know, call it quits or surrender. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that SolarWinds is going to have to deal with is public trust. Nobody is going to want to use Orion. For years, if we send out a hot fix as soon as we found out about it and blah, they're not going to, you know, on the company side. But like you were saying, you know, if other, you know, say an independent hacking organization starts working with Russia or starts working with another, you know, nation state, you know, people. Well, I think that's what's multiple groups putting their resources together and trying something like this. But it's just, be surprised if, I guess I wouldn't be surprised, but I think there is potential for, depending on what Biden does, like a counterattack. Like, what do you think about a counterattack from the United States? I'm not sure, like he's mentioned earlier, I'm not sure what the goal would be. I never know what the goal is. I guess I haven't looked into what the goal is for these kinds of attacks. Like,
I think this might be a little bit of a tangent, but a lot of it, I think, has to do with nationalism. I think that, like, it kind of goes without saying, but if you are a politician or you're in the government, you should be inherently nationalist to a point. And not you should be, but you probably are. And I think once you get up there, the talk of the town or the whatever might be like, hey, you know, we're just sort of against these countries. We're allied with these countries. Therefore, we inherently want to go and get information from them. It's kind of like, and this could be way off base, so tell me if it is, but like, to kind of dumb it down, I feel like when I play, like, say, Minecraft, okay, if you and I are playing together and we have two or three other people playing, and you and I are allied and they're against us, you and I are going to build, like, a crazy castle.
Right, we're going to work together. Defenses. We're going to work together to
We're going to work together support. And make something insane. And we're going to make it crazy, and they're probably never going to attack, and nothing's probably ever going to happen because it's just Minecraft. But we do it anyway because we just want that at our disposal if we need it. You know what I mean? Like, we want to be able to have you know, defenses on our castle and be able to protect our diamonds and stuff like that. So I think, like, just inherently for Russia, it's sort of this primal kind of like, we have our thing, you have your thing, we need to know more about your thing so we can keep our thing. And
yeah, and no, I you know, I get what you're saying. It's akin to just having more nukes.
Yeah, like, I don't think there's any real reason to do things sometimes. But since we're humans, since we kind of want to assign reason to things, we just sort of do. And with that, it's like, well, you know, why are we hacking these people to get this information? Well, we have to. And it's like, why do we have to? Well, because they're doing it to us, so we need it. And it's like, okay, I guess we do. What are we going to do to them with it? Probably nothing, because they have nukes and they're going to blow us up if we do something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the other scary thing that's not, it's not like nuclear, you know, bombs, is with nukes, there's mutually assured destruction. So if yeah. Russia launches a nuke on the United States is going to launch a nuke on Russia, and we're both going to get blown up.
Yeah.
With this, again, there has been no talk of a counterattack. I can't imagine there has to be some repercussion for Russia. There has to be some penalty for Russia.
And I think what I also want to mention is, I don't want to say, like, nothing is done for any reason, because I get that there's a lot of reasons for doing stuff. But the scary thing about this and the hacking is, like, we talk about nuclear bombs, and I kind of brought it up, like, oh, they could just blow us up. But with the riots that happened in this country and other stuff like that, I think a lot of that is actually caused by Russian intervention. Like, I heard something that there were actually hackers that were hacking social media to start showing people things that would incite them to be more emotional, violent. Like,
oh yeah, so, I mean that's not even like, you don't even need to hack anything. You just make, like, bots. Facebook accounts.
Facebook lets you do it. They encourage it. They want your money for ads, and you can target whoever you want. Like, you can literally say, I want to target, you know, whoever, and there you go.
I mean, it was confirmed during the 2016 campaign, you know, presidential campaign.
Obviously, yeah. But I mean, so just with that, this information could be invaluable to them, because for the top 425 people in the Fortune 500, right? And then the military is just kind of a gimme if they're included in that, because obviously you want some military information. But if you know what people are buying, selling, what the company's information is, who's doing this, who's doing that, I mean, really all you need is to, you know, every piece of the puzzle, and then, you know, manipulating people becomes much easier. So is it for manipulation, maybe?
That's a good point. That's pretty creepy. That's pretty, like, scary to think about.
Know, if they have all this information on companies, I mean, what are our lives based around? Pretty much consumerism and capitalism. So because we're a capitalist society, if you have the information on our top companies, you basically have the information you need to manipulate the people that are governed by that system. So they're just infiltrating our basically our way of life, and they can kind of manipulate much better in that sense, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's a very, very valid point.
And that's what I think. I mean, that concerns me a lot. I don't know, because part of me feels like what I said before, like, there's no reason to really do any of this, because in my opinion, I wish that we could all just, you know, like, let's do our thing. Let's let everyone else do their thing. Let's trade. And if we don't like the trades, don't do it. And, you know, whatever. But, you know, there's a very military aspect to everything. There's and the social aspect with the riots. It's like, if you can destroy somebody within, I mean, that's so much easier. You incite these riots. Now everybody, half of America hates the other half of America right now. And that's way worse than Russia hating America. Because who cares? Let's all hate Russia together. But
yeah, I mean, you know, driving polarization, and that's that. Yeah, that's like some next level stuff. Is, you know, I think that that actually might be, you know, where we're going is like not, you know, I have more nukes than you, and you know, the Cold War. It's gonna be, we're going to get more information on your people, and we're going to tear your country down from the inside out, and we're going to turn your country against
each other. Because unless you can convince, you know, 300 million people that we're all being hacked by Russia and our public consciousness has been swayed, people are going to keep on going how they're going. You know, it's just, yeah, it's concerning to say the least, but I think you're right. It's definitely, that's the new age is information, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. So like we said, you know, the trust in the company is going to be, you know, hindered for forever. They're never going to live it down.
This is a counterpoint, or not a counterpoint, but this is probably alternative to what you're saying. Like, I wouldn't place the blame so much on the company. I it's their fault, of course. But I just feel like I just feel like it was going to happen to somebody. And there should be more government involvement to make sure that something that, I mean, because we have regulations, right? Like, we have business regulations to keep companies from monopolizing, different stuff like that. Why would we not put more safeguards on a company? Like, hey, I know you create our cybersecurity software, but we need to like run this through a bunch of different, what are those things called? Virtual
machines.
Just kind of, yeah. Let's run it through like a bunch of different virtual machines.
That's just more testing. But that's what I'm saying is it's such a young field.
Yeah.
Like, that, I mean, that's the evolution. That's your first instinct would be, we just need to do more testing on it, I guess, on our software.
But, I mean, the reason I say that, and it sounds like a broad statement, but if I can relate it to the COVID vaccine, right? The only reason that the COVID vaccine succeeded as fast as it did, I know some people don't think it's legitimate, but it is. And the reason that it succeeded as fast as it did is because usually getting the certifications for these vaccines and the testing and the, you know, you need hundreds of thousands of people to test it. You need a bunch of money, and you're not guaranteed that it's going to sell. But the government said, look, we're going to give you all of the money. It's going to sell because we all need it. And, you know, that's it, right? And so the companies were assured, like, hey, we're getting this money, and they were assured people that they were testing it. So really, when you throw in the aspect of like time, you can push up timelines the more money, funding, manpower you have. So I just don't see why you couldn't, you know, commit, if you're the government, commit like a package of money. I don't know how much it would have to be, but you commit a certain amount of money to having, you know, a big group of people that run these virtual networks that just test this stuff, if it's going to be so prevalent in business. Like, it's prevalent to the top 425 companies, right? And we have regulations stating this company can't do this, they can do this, we're going to tax them like this. So I think to protect those companies, if you have all of those resources dedicated to checking it, instead of figuring it out, you said in March from December?
Yeah, it potentially started in March.
I mean, so instead of figuring this out in March, right, or in, you know, whenever, in December, whenever it was figured out, if you have all of those resources, say, going for like, hey, you need a week verification process or like a however much time, I mean, I think that would definitely push up the timeline, like, or not the timeline, but it would make things a lot faster to get detected. Like, it wouldn't take months. It would take weeks. I mean, because you don't just, like, they don't make the COVID, they don't make a vaccine and just say, yeah, this is probably going to work and there's probably not anything that's going to kill you. So, you know, we'll just give it to you. They're like, but the software update they send out, they're like, yeah, it's good. Like,
No, I don't think that's what they do at all. I think that, no, but like, that's what the
company does it. Like,
the company's trusting, that's the company's job is to test their stuff.
I know.
They just missed stuff.
I don't think that the government, okay, so it's like this. The government has the FDA, right? So when, you know, a pharmacy or a company like, what's it, like Pfizer is making coronavirus vaccines, the FDA is checking those, right? They're okay. Making sure that it's good. So it's not just the company saying this is good. But in this specific case, I don't know much background on this company and how the government checks it, but it's so involved with the government and with our businesses that you would think that there would be some governing body that would dedicate resources to checking everything that goes into our systems. Because like you said, like, there's no perfect fix, but this is something that they developed over a long period of time that is now, like, you cannot tell if it's in the system or not. So to prevent that type of stuff to slip through the cracks, I think you need something where, you know, like an FDA or something like that. Like, and I know we have military personnel that are fighting, you know, like fighting other nations, cyber warfare, but just like a body that is more, you know, probably kind of relaxed and just checks
these things. I personally, I don't go, I get what you're saying. I completely, like, there's a, I like the, you know, the FDA and the Pfizer analogy, but I personally don't look to the government to regulate that. I would more consider, you know,
but it affects the government so heavily, like, it directly affects all our top 400 companies. And that, I don't know, to me, if we're going to go ahead and step over and tell companies what they can and can't do in other aspects, you need to protect those companies as well.
No, yeah, I mean,
I
get what you're saying. I wish that, you know, if the government had unlimited money, then I'm sure they would pour more money into, you know, the, you know, there's multiple committees and councils in government, you know, organizations that are responsible for this. Obviously, if they're underfunded, if, you know, multiple branches of the military have obviously cybersecurity divisions, those are, again, it's still a growing field. All those things play factors into it. So it's not like there's no oversight or like regulation. It just might not be at a point, like, they might have to just push more money into it. You never, like, instead of building, you know, fighter jets and tanks, maybe you pivot your defense budget, you know, some of your defense, more of your defense budget into, you know, cybersecurity, your cybersecurity division. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you just brought that up, because that's something that's kind of irked me about just the government in general, is the sheer fact that, like, we waste so much. I don't think it's waste, but I mean, tell me the last time we had to use our fighter jets to actually do something. Like, I don't,
right.
And I'm sure it happens, but I just don't see the need for so much spending.
Right. And I don't know what the reason behind that is. Obviously the government is the government. They're always going to do more, you know, spend more money, probably need to. But yeah, like I said, it's not, you know, I was talking with briefly with my mom you know, earlier, and I just said, like, what is the next major? There's going to be, in our lifetime, there is most likely going to be some major conflict, geopolitical conflict.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's militarily or like this, like a bigger hack or something, there's going to be something like that. And it's just kind of scary to think about what could happen, you know, next.
The implication would be, I mean, already now, at least in my opinion, you have, I'm not fully convinced that coronavirus wasn't made by the Chinese. I mean, that might sound a little bit like bad, but I, who's not.
Yeah, I mean, now we're just going.
But we're like on the topic of just like the implications. It's almost right. The same as like, you know, them having this information and the future it could spell for us, at least.
Right. There's cyber warfare. There's biological warfare. There's different types of warfare. It's not just,
yeah,
you know, with guns. That I guess I get what you're saying.
I guess the reason this is more volatile is just because you look at nuclear bombs and you look at, you know, you said you have, you know, chemical warfare and things like that. That doesn't really do much. You don't gain anything from that, really. I feel like you don't, like, if you use chemical weapons against the United States, I mean, yeah, you're attacking people, but like, why? Like, okay, you killed somebody, that's cool, but like, if you are messing with their entire foundation as a country, I mean, that you can gain from that.
There's
almost like, it's a win-win for if you do that instead of just blowing people up or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is warfare is evolving, and the next major conflict will not be, it will be different, I think, than,
oh yeah,
you know, sure. The 20th century wars, say.
I agree with you 100%.
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about? I think we covered most of the information regarding this.
I think we covered what we could. And I think we got to a really good point where I think I realize now more so what the implications could actually be.
Right. There's only
for us.
There's only so much. There's only so much, you know, on the specific, you know, on the specifics of the actual, you know, hack that two, you know, laymans can get into. But I agree. I liked our discussions on what, you know, what comes next and what the implications were. So, if you think we're done, I think we can end it here for this week.
I think I'm satisfied because I, you know, starting off of kind of like, you know, some company got hacked and all right, that stinks. But now, you know, just relating it to everything going on in the country and kind of how warfare is evolving, I kind of like the point that we got to with it, you know, because I think it got me thinking deeper about it than I originally was thinking about it. So,
yeah, for sure. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. We will most likely be back next week. We have several topics that, you know, we'll discuss, and we'll pick the next one. We'll probably get to all of them at some point. We are now on Anchor. We are now on Spotify, and we are on Apple Podcasts. So you can check us out on any of those platforms. Leave a rating. Really appreciate it. You know, share us with your friends, and we'll be back.
Hopefully next advertisement.
Oh yeah, for your shirts. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, can I do an advertisement? All right. So I kind of started this shirt brand. It's not really gonna be like, I don't want it to be super super public, I guess you could say. Like, I have a website so people can order shirts. I'm gonna add some more products that I like that I make. I'm really just making the shirts because I find that there's not many shirts that I like to wear when I go to the store. They don't really fit what I want. I like wearing shirts that are really comfortable, kind of loose. And they have like simple designs on them that, you know, I'm not embarrassed to wear, if that makes sense. I know some people might not relate to that, but I don't really like the gaudy designs on shirts. So I kind of made my own shirt brand a little bit just so I could have clothes that I really enjoyed wearing. And then I made a website for it just in case other people were interested. So if you want to kind of get involved, I have one design up right now. It's just, it's a seafoam green shirt with a design of an astronaut on it. And then I also have another shirt on the website that I'm doing for cervical cancer. All the proceeds for that go to cancer research. And you actually are redirected to Custom Inc's website for that one. So money doesn't go through my website at all. It just gets donated there. It's simplefellowtees.com. Everything is spelled like you'd think. And I throw that into the Safari address up top because I'm not sure if it'll show up on Google.
I also tweeted, I know you sent the link in our group chat. I tweeted the link out for my, you know, 30 followers to see, but,
cool.
Yeah, awesome. It's on my Twitter. If you forget the link, but, yeah.
Great. Like, well, that's awesome. Go ahead.
I was just going to say they look good. I'll probably buy one at some point, but
I'm just going for, you know, I'm into space, I'm into different stuff like that. I like outdoor stuff. So on the back I've got kind of like mountains, trees, and a little bit of like a little logo. And then on the front I got the spaceman with the stars giving you the keep it 100 sign. So I like it. It's nothing gaudy and the design's pretty cool. So
yeah,
I'm
check
not
it
trying
out.
To do it Definitely to make a ton out. Of money, nothing like that. I'm just want to put something out there that I enjoy, that if hopefully other people enjoy, that they'll buy. So yeah, that's my little product placement. I think that's our first ad, right? That's our first ad.
Yeah.
That's our first in podcast ad.
Yep. All right. Well, there we go. That great way to send it off. All right. We will be back here next week. We will catch you later.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review and following us on Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. See you next week.